Welcome back to Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. We are looking live from Golffinity, and it's one of my favorite new places. First time being here at Golffinity, and it is great. It is the largest indoor golf performance club in America. Yeah, in the United States of America. So I got in here, and I was like, man, this place is huge. I got lost when I first got in here. Angie just rolled up. She's one of our sales ladies, and she said she got lost when she walked in. You will get lost in this joint when you come in if you don't know where you're going. That's how big it is. 512 Friday, we play jams for local bands and artists, but you can hear it live right here in the ATX. Patrick, who we jamming right now?
This is Paul Val. He is doing a big Halloween show, costume party at Antone's on Monday.
I bet that's going to be fun. So I bet people will be dressed up all weekend then.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We decided that
Saturday, Sunday, and Monday.
We thought it was
going to
start yesterday. We thought if we would have went downtown, I'm sure some people had the bars.
I saw people dressed up last night. I went out to South Con because people were dressed up.
People
were dressed up. That's how people – coming from Halloween parties or something, but people are already dressed up. So tonight – oh, yeah, it's going to be some freaky stuff happening. Like that and not like that. But, yes, going to be a lot of that going on. So, Halloween weekend, basically. And you got all your candy?
You got
all that done?
Well, half of it's gone.
Because you've been
I've
eating
it.
Stop eating the candy for the kids, man.
I try to hide it. I told
candy
everybody
for the kids.
Go hide the candy.
And all you leaving is the terrible candy.
Yeah, the one.
The nondescript crap candy the kids don't want.
The Tootsie Roll.
Well, you're right. I can't, as an adult, I can't eat Tootsie Roll. That's just too bad on your teeth.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm leaving.
Exactly. I can't have that. Back in the day, Tootsie Roll wasn't a bad one, but you're right. Now it is. Golffinity, folks, this is where you need to be. Great spot here at Golffinity. How about this? So it's a special they're having here at Golffinity. So when you mention the horn, when you call in this weekend, and you receive half off bay rentals.
That's what you want.
So if you're trying to come hang out here at Golffinity this weekend, holiday weekend, basically, because Halloween weekend, you can come out here and kick it. All you got to do is mention the horn, all right? Mention the horn when you reserve your bay rental, and you'll get half off.
Yeah, one of my buddies, he asked me, what are you doing in my club? And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, I've been trying to keep this to myself. Because I've been coming in here for a long time, and now everybody's going to know about it. Yeah. That's what it's all about. This is the type of energy. When we walked in here, everybody's trying to figure out, what kind of place is it? And then all of a sudden, you see the energy, and you feel the energy in this spot, and it is so exciting. This is what it's all about. Everybody seems to be moving around. Everybody's having fun. You can putt in here. You can see exactly how you swing for distance, how your swing is being developed. They got coaches in here. This is a great spot to learn how to play golf. Even if you're not an avid golfer, this is still your spot. Didn't you say that, Rob? Because you're not an avid golfer.
No, I'm not.
Your shoulders won't let you do a lot
of things. Nah, I can't. It's going to be bad for me. But I love this spot. Like I said, this is a spot when all of my friends who in our golfing circles, they want to go play 18 holes. I'm like, dude, I can't go play 18 holes with you. I just can't do it. Right? My shoulders won't let me, and my woman probably won't let me either. That's a long time to be on the golf course. But I can't go kick it for an hour and a half, two hours. I got a bar right here to kick it. They got food. They got all the – they can go putt. They can go driving. All y'all want to do is great. It's fantastic. It's a 20,000-square-foot facility. So it's – you got more than the space. They actually got a big screen over here, too, where they host a lot of watch parties for UFC fights.
UFC.
Coming up this weekend.
They got something coming up for Austin FC watch party as well.
Is that going to be Sunday?
That is Sunday. They're going to have a party for that,
nice.
Too.
Yeah.
So you have a place to go. Whether you live in this area up here off in North Austin off of 620, or if you're traveling around and you're looking for a spot, Golffinity is your spot.
Two-story, 20,000-square-foot facility. Got 21 state-of-the-art golf simulators, two putting greens, a members lounge with a culinary-inspired restaurant and bar. Club fitting studio. You talked about your boy.
Hello.
Club fitting.
Hello.
Got a private event space for groups of all sizes. And like I said, they got anything you need pretty much. I mean, you can become a member. I've heard the membership is pretty cheap too.
It
I don't want to start throwing out numbers out there, but somebody just came and told me the membership is very cheap to the point where they got their family.
Yes.
Entire family memberships because of how cheap it was, so they can bring the family here. The family can hang out, and they'll know exactly where everybody is. Kids go upstairs, him and wifey kicking it downstairs, having a good time. So it's one of those places, man. It really is good. I'm happy that I know about it now. So all my friends who are golfers, I can recommend it.
Yes.
Oh, man, you've been to Golf Family? Go check it out. Now, look, I'll look like I know what I'm talking about.
You know exactly what you're talking about.
Hey, man, I'm Robbie. He really didn't know what he was talking about. Really, I don't. But I just like to make it seem that way.
And if you get over here pretty quick, you might be able to see a Longhorn legend here in just a little while that is going to come over and talk to us probably in the next 30, 45 minutes.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, I'm not going to tell everybody. They just need to get here.
Okay,
he's a golfing legend.
All right,
he's
there you
a
go.
Golfing legend
enough
on,
said.
On the 40 acres.
Enough said.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the Cowboys and their matchup this weekend coming up versus the Bears. The Bears. And I think the line on this game is pretty big.
Yeah.
Is it 9 or 10? Was it somewhere around there?
It was around there.
Wow. Yeah. I can't believe that considering the Cowboys offense is not even built. Well, it's not built to score a lot of points. Well, it's not built to score a lot of points. And even when Dak's back in there, I don't think they're going to, you know, air it out. Their intention is not to be prolific necessarily. Yes, they want to score points, but they don't take a lot of chances. And they're not aggressive enough offensively in that regard. They're just about ball control and field position. That could change because Zeke is reportedly going to be out this game, or he's not going
to
be available.
Still practicing this. He's going to try to practice tomorrow. Mike McCarthy said he's trending in the right direction. Okay. And if he can go tomorrow at practice, I don't know how strenuous the practices are on Saturday. But he was saying if they could go, he's probably going to try to give it a shot. So we'll see. I'm with you. I don't know that Zeke – I don't know if they should use him here or try to let it happen. Matter of fact, your website, MyBookie, has Cowboys minus 10.
Okay, so that's a big number.
Yeah.
I think I'll take the Cowboys to win, but the Bears to keep it within
10,
the number.
Because right?
First of all, we saw the Detroit Lions. They were close with the Cowboys
until the
last 5 minutes of that game or something like that when the Cowboys separated. This is the thing about the Bears. The Bears might have found something in the last week or so. They had that extra time off, and then they played the Pats as an underdog, and they finally figured out a way to weaponize Justin Fields. Seemed like common sense, but they decided to just use his legs.
Yeah.
He had 14 rushes for 82 yards. 5 rushing third downs. He had 5 passing third downs, too, that he converted. His design runs, 12 design runs, though, for 63 yards. And the Bears had their highest scoring game with Justin Fields as a starter because they finally decided to use his legs. And he was 13 of 21, 179 passing yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception, which was a deflection, actually.
Yep.
But it really was about how they used his legs to be the identity of the offense. They were 11 of 18 on third down, 10 of those converted by Justin Fields. 5 of those were basically with his legs. And he was 6 of 7 throwing on the run for 104 yards. So most of his throwing yards, too, were on the run.
Yeah,
figured it out.
Yeah, you got to make him mobile. It goes back to what we talked about with the
– same thing with Sam Ehlinger.
And
Jalen Hurts.
And Lamar Jackson.
All of them, yeah.
Quit trying to make these guys something that they're not good at. You don't draft a guy and try that was mobile to say, you know what, I need you to throw the ball 40 to 50 times a game. No, if you're going to make them throw it 40 to 50 times, you need to give them the run-pass option. That's the way the game is being called nowadays. That's where all the success is. Give them options. Everybody's not the dropback. And at the end of the day, what's the most important letter? W.
Duh.
That is it. However you got to get there, get the W. Oh, I'm going to make him learn how to drop back. No, you're not. No, you're not. That's not a guy that should be able to do that.
They tried it for a while, and then finally they had, I think, 10 extra days because of where the game was scheduled, and they ended up being really – and I'll give them credit for it, and I think this is something that's going to continue because Hardy did some research, and this is for the Cowboys too because the Bears against the Patriots, when they were doing film study on the Patriots, they saw the Baltimore game.
Yeah.
And apparently – and this comes from – Mark Grote, who covers the Bears, he says the Bears were apparently looking closely at the Lamar Jackson offense when they were studying film for the Patriots, when Justin Fields was asked about all the design runs, he said, it just brings another whole element to our offense, stealing some plays from the Baltimore Ravens. So he admitted it. And then Devin McCourty, after the game where the Patriots were beaten by the Bears this past week, he said, Devin McCourty said the Bears had more design runs for Justin Fields than they had shown on film, noting the Patriots saw some similar concepts to what the Ravens' Lamar Jackson threw at them in week three. McCourty said, quote, he just made a lot of big plays, throwing, dropping back, scrambling, more design runs than we saw on film. I think with the extended time, they added some plays that I think we saw in the Baltimore game with Lamar Jackson, some of those style plays, but we just didn't do a good job of keeping him in the pocket early. They had some kind of moving the pocket plays, boot plays, roll pass to get them more comfortable, but then just some big third downs where he was able to scramble big time, throw some passes on the run, things that we knew coming in. So they basically stole some of the Ravens' offense.
What do we always talk about
hey, man,
every, all sports?
Rip off and duplicate.
It's a copycat league.
Rip off and
if
duplicate.
If you see success, why are you – what is your ego telling you? Oh, no, we can run something better than that. No, let's run the same thing
because
they've had success.
Our quarterback can do that. Do that.
It's right in front of you.
I agree.
So I don't understand this egotistical type of mindset with some of these offensive coordinators and defensive coordinators. Mm-hmm. For that matter, if you see success, why not add it? Because everybody thinks that their players are better than the other team's players.
That's true.
Why not use your players to be that successful?
And something the Cowboys are going to have to watch, not only basically preparing for the Baltimore Ravens offense, because that's the offense they're trying to replicate and simulate now, nobody scrambles more than Justin Fields. Right. I'm just talking about Sam Miller. I went and studied scramble rates. I think Sam Ellington's going to scramble a lot. And they're going to use design runs with Sam, too. But Justin Fields leads the NFL in scramble rate. 17.7% of his dropbacks end up materializing into a scramble. You're going to have to keep a spy on that dude. And you got probably the best dude to do it in the league, but you got multiple options. You could do it with Micah, or you could do it with Jaron Kearse. You could do it with one of your safeties, Donovan Wilson could be
that
guy.
I love that thought process.
LVE. You could do it with a lot of guys. You got options.
You got multiples out there.
You got options.
That can go out there and make those types of plays. And I love the fact – you know who I would think that would be the person because of the way that he has been tackling in space? I would think Donovan Wilson. Okay. I think Donovan Wilson is that type of guy. But then I also go back and I looked at what Jaron Kearse, remember about a week ago I told you, I said, man, I remember looking at Jaron Kearse and he was set up in the middle linebacker position.
Yeah.
He was almost in, he was standing right next to LVE.
Yeah, they put him in linebacker.
So you were looking at him like, this is another guy that can go and make those types of plays. The only problem that I'm looking at right now as we speak is the fact that Malik Hooker is kind of banged up. So they may have to switch up another guy to put him back and have him drop back. But if they would have had a full complement of their safeties, I would definitely see a Donovan Wilson or possibly Jaron Kearse being that type of spot.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. You're right. I mean, I forgot about the injury to Malik Hooker, and I don't know how serious that is, and don't know status really for the game. Yeah. And don't forget about Jordan Lewis. So they are
a little
light.
Banged up.
Yes, they're a little light in that secondary. But the Bears are – listen, the Bears, they are a very lopsided offensive formula. They are the best rushing offense in the NFL now because they run the ball so much with Justin Fields. And they do have a really good running back room, too. David Montgomery, Khalil Herbert, averaging over 6 yards per carry. But they are the worst passing offense in the NFL. 126 passing yards per game, last in completion percentage, last in passing touchdowns. And I think they have the third fewest passing attempts as well. That is a little bit – I think that's a little bit misleading just because I think this offense is still figuring itself out. Remember, in week one – the Chicago Bears played more rookies than any other team. They've been playing a lot of young guys, and they've been competitive in a lot of matchups this year. Sometimes teams pull away late or they may look almost inept while they're playing teams, but they're competitive, and the defense is a lot better than people think. I think they'll play the Cowboys tough, and because both teams, if the Cowboys – stay on this offensive formula that they've been on with, you know, with Cooper or Rush. If they stay on that formula and now Dak Prescott with one start, it's going to be a low-scoring game because both teams want to run the ball.
Yeah.
And the Bears can't throw the ball. But they can, but it ain't.
It's not going to be as effective
as it would be. It's very ineffective, in my opinion. It's very inefficient, may I say that.
I would agree with the low-scoring part of it to an extent. The one thing that I keep looking at is this is an opportunity for Dak Prescott because of Ezekiel Elliott not being there. My biggest focus during this game is Kellen Moore's play caller.
Okay, I like that.
It is definitely going to be that because now you have to look at what is Pollard good at. What is going to be his strengths? What is going to be his weakness? Well, we know that he can run a little bit on the outside. He can catch passes out of the backfield. He's had some moments where he's hit the hole and got through. But can he be that every down? I want him to play three down back. I don't know if he can because there's a lot of responsibility in the passing game.
That's true.
And that's been my biggest worry because the reason why it's my biggest worry, we've seen it, but most importantly, everybody keeps talking about it. He's not good in pass pro. He's not good in pass pro. So once that defense recognizes that, you know what side you're going to attack. They lost Robert Quinn, so that eases it up just a little bit because they traded him before the
game.
That
does. That helps. That helps.
Couldn't you wait till Monday?
Man, that helps.
And I'm glad they didn't wait till Monday because they kept it moving. But when you start to look at this team and say, Kellen Moore, what are you going to do with the limitation of the running back room? This is going to be a big game for him when you break it all down.
Yeah. Let me ask you this real quickly. So we're talking about the Cowboys. Do the Cowboys make another move before the trade deadline? Jonathan Hankins, they made, obviously, was a good move. Brought him in as a D tackle, run stuffer. I think that's a visionary move looking ahead for the Cowboys when they make the playoffs and the teams they're going to have to deal with in the NFC who can really run the ball. And that's their biggest weakness on their defensive side of the ball is rush defense. They're about 20th in the NFL.
Right.
But there's been a lot of talk that the Cowboys could or should be interested in the wide receiver market. I know. Agreed. There's even now an article, and I read this from Fan Nation that actually had this, about the Cowboys should have interest in Cedric Wilson, bringing him back potentially.
Shouldn't have let him go then. Why not go get Amari Cooper?
Is that Wilson? Wilson has just four catches for 40 yards this season. The Dolphins are not using him. They paid him.
Yeah.
And they paid him a good money. I mean, they paid him, 3 years, $22 million? They don't use him.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's weird, too. I don't even get why they don't use him. Something's happening over there.
I think also when the offseason happened and you bring in a guy like.
He is returning punts.
But you bring in a guy like Tyreek Hill. You got a guy like Jaylen Waddle. You're looking at your tight end. Kaminsky, whatever his name is. He's been a focal point of the success that they've had. So you bring in an outside guy, he took the money. That's the part that is really looking at me. So if you're going to let him walk, he goes get paid somewhere else, and then you're going to try to bring him back into the fold, that if you do trade for him, they have to pay most of that contract.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. That's
going to be part of the move.
Agreed.
But again, does he want to come back to the Cowboys? Is that something that he's seeing? Because they're having
– He's not like he got no trade clause or anything. He just wanted his money.
That's a very good point.
He just wanted his money. He didn't care where he played. He's not a QB or anything.
Putting the boys out there like that, man. Now we're sitting over here. What? Hey, you want to come home?
Well, it was just like –
He's like Giselle – or the Cowboys Giselle and giving them the ultimate.
Well, it's an article because Odell Beckham Jr. went on, I think, 105 through the Fan recently and said that he would love to be a Dallas Cowboy, something along those lines. And people have talked about Chase Claypool, Brandon Cooks.
Yep.
Nothing has come up. And DJ Moore from Carolina's come up.
I would have taken DJ Moore. I think DJ Moore
is a Cowboys fan?
He's somebody else that can stretch the field. He's a guy that can go up the field.
Yeah.
And that would be the one position that we're missing. That would be the guy that I was thinking about that saying, okay, if you could go and get one guy, DJ Moore would be the guy that I was thinking of.
All right. But you think the Cowboys should be looking, though, potentially?
Oh, for sure.
Should be looking,
Especially now, Noah Brown is banged up. Noah Brown was the guy. He may not even play this weekend.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we still don't know what's going on with Jalen Tolbert. You know, the mental aspect of him. We talked. I sent a text to some people that cover the Cowboys, and they say he's just not picking up the offense. He can't get out of his own way right now.
Yeah, I wonder if they'll start using Kevontae Turpin more in the wide receiver role with that going on. Yeah, and James Washington. I don't even know what his status is at this point either. Let me tell you real quick about the status of my friends over at Ironworkers Local 482. Austin is a beautiful city, thanks in no small part to the skilled craftsmanship over at Ironworkers Local 482. They've been helping shape Greater Austin since 1935. You see the labors of their love all over this great city and iconic landmarks like D. Kiara Stadium and the Pennybacker Bridge. And as the city continues to grow and thrive, so does Ironworkers Local 482. The Ironworkers Local 482 don't go to the office, folks. They build it. So if you're looking for an exciting new career, you can become a member of Ironworkers Local 482 and accept the challenge of becoming the best version of yourself while helping shape Austin's economic development. They're hiring 3,000 people right now, and you can become a member of Ironworkers Local 482 and take the pride in the type of teamwork and craftsmanship that helps shape the future of this great city. So maximize your potential today with ironworkers482.org. That's ironworkers482.org. You can apply there today. All right, we'll come back. We got a special guest coming up for Harsh Knock Life, correct?
That's exactly right. We got Aaron Bergman, that is the founder and CEO of this beautiful facility that we're at right now. We're going to get the lowdown on everything that's happening here, what they're doing, what some of the promotions, and you might get a chance to sign up for something cool real quick.
Mm-hmm. I like that. All right, we got some goodies coming up for you a little bit later on, but if you really want the goods, come on out here to Golffinity. Great location. We're going to tell you some more about that in Harsh Knock Life right here on Ball Don't Lie on 104.9 The Horn.
Ladies and gentlemen, guys and dolls, the main event of the evening for your entertainment and pleasure.
Mike, you have to be so combative.
Now, I probably wouldn't say this in front of white folks, but in front of your own speak, my man.
He has emotional anger issue problem.
Hey, are you Dirty Mike and the boys?
I'm Mike Lowry.
Michael!
Oh, that's funny.
Michael!
Welcome back to a 512 edition of Ball Don't Lie. It's your boy Hardball Hard. You can follow me on Twitter at Hardball Hard. You can follow my man Rod Babers at Rod Babers. You can follow my man Patrick Davis at It's Patrick Davis. I will tell you that we are part of the Specs text line, but we can't even see it. Mm-mm. So don't even worry about that right now, but you can hit us up on our social medias. And joining us now, right now on the Vaquero's Cafe and Cantina Hotline, but he's actually with us. So we can't even actually say that he's on the hotline, but he is live and in person. He is the CEO and founder of Golffinity, the place that is hosting us right now. It's our man, Aaron Bergman. Aaron, thank you for joining us. Thank you for having us. We are so excited to be here with you today, my man.
Man, it's great to be with you guys.
Yes. Thanks. So, Rod came in. I told the story at the very beginning
of
the show.
He was bragging about it.
I was bragging about the fact that the reason why I had seen it, I've been driving up 620. I looked to my left. I looked to my right. And I was like, man, Golffinity. And a buddy of mine had come in. Got fitted for some clubs here. You know, you fit those PXGs.
Right.
Shout out.
And come get them.
Yeah, he told me. He was like, hey, man, I left my clubs up there. Do you mind going and picking them up? I said, I live up north. I'll go by there and check it out. As soon as I walked into the building, I was like, oh, my goodness.
I've
never seen anything like it. I walked all the way around the place. I saw all the bays, saw the upstairs, saw the downstairs. It is one of the most intriguing spots because of the fact that nobody understands what's in here when they walk in here. It's 20,000 square feet of heaven if you're a golfer, right?
That's right.
So tell us about the concept and how you came up with this.
Man, that's a great story. So first off, this place is really just born out of a true passion to share the game and get people excited about the game. And if I think about all of the memorable experiences in my life and all of the really meaningful relationships, I can trace them all back. Their core root is the game of golf.
Hmm. Okay.
And so just to have a place where people can foster those types of relationships, all the game has done for me, provides my livelihood, it's taken me all over the world. Really to have a place where people can discover the game and then go on their journey through development and have a place to benefit from the game like so many people on our team here at Golffinity have, you know, it's a dream come true for us. And, you know, just the energy you guys are feeling. I heard you talk about it on the radio.
It's, yeah.
You know, that's the whole spirit of this place is let's get excited about golf. It's one of the few games that you can enjoy for your entire life.
Yeah.
That young and old and beginning and expert can all live under the same roof. And so that's what we do here, man. We just have a great time, and it's all in the spirit of getting better and really just finding what the true joys of golf are and doing it with your friends and your family.
Yeah. You almost sound like a missionary for the game of golf. Yeah, like you're sent out on a kind of a mission to – well, because I feel like that about football. I understand – you are speaking my exact language, but I feel the same way about football. I go on these airways to teach people about the game what it did for me and how it changed my life. And this place essentially is your Taj Mahal to your love.
Well,
which is golf.
I appreciate that. Absolutely. No, I'm very blessed that I found a joy and a love and that I got to spend my life inside of that realm. And, you know, we all need that channel, right? You know, if it's not golf, then for you it was football.
Yep.
And what it does is it becomes your pathway to meet people, to see the world, to experience life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's what this place is for. There's so many people who are on the outside of the game like, I don't get it.
Right, for sure.
And it's intimidating. Like, where do I start? How do I get into golf? It's expensive. Yeah. It takes too long. I wouldn't be good enough.
Right.
And we really just wanted to build a place where they go, you know what, maybe this is for me. And they come in and say, whoa, this is kind of a cool place. It's like, it's modern. There's all this really cool technology, these simulators. I mean, my 7-year-old son is here like, he comes in and he's hitting dinosaurs on the simulator.
Right? Right.
Can I get him excited about golf?
Right.
I think I can.
You did the right thing.
That's great. No, I can feel the energy. He's right. It's palpable, man. It's here.
Yeah, like I'm looking around and I'm looking at all the people. You were telling me there's another event that's going to be going on after we go off air. And there's just so many guys and ladies that are in here right now that are trying to understand the game, learn the game. And today was a perfect example. Everybody probably had a tee time somewhere. They really wanted to go play. The rains came in. All the tee times got shut down. But it never rains inside this place, right?
Mars, let me tell you, man. It's always sunny in 72 in Golffinity. Write that down.
Even when it's too hot outside,
exactly.
It ain't too hot in there. It's always nice.
It's never too hot.
Look, let's be honest. We all came to Austin. We're all fair weather people.
Exactly.
So if it's like, even looks like it might rain, whatever we were going to do outside, we're going to put that on hold till tomorrow. I'm from Seattle, man. You don't golf in the rain, you ain't golfing.
Right. That's right.
I love it. No, because I love it because, and I was telling Harsh this, all of my circles, all right, my social circle, my friend Harsh here too, they golf. Yep, Derek, he golfs. Everybody I know, they golf. But I'm not a true avid golfer. I'm kind of on the outside looking in. So when they want to go, hey, Rod, let's go do 18. I'm like, man, I can't do 18. Yeah. I'm not even a golfer. But I can suggest, hey, man, why don't we go to our Golffinity for a couple hours?
Exactly.
I go chill at the bar and hang out and eat while y'all go hit some balls and kick it. And I can go hit balls with y'all a little bit. It's a little bit more relaxed, and it doesn't feel like the stress and the urgency of going out and playing 18 with the boys.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So Rod,
for somebody like me.
But here's the thing, man. Check this. So no one loves golf more than I do. I mean, I would play golf every day if I could.
Most of my friends
love
golf.
But I got
like
a full-time job.
Exactly.
I got two small boys.
Right.
So just me trying to get on a golf course for 6 hours, like, man, that's not happening very often. So you're exactly right. We need ways to really benefit from golf. We need ways that we can plug in that are not, you know, these – how do you sell to your wife, hey, honey, Saturday, I know you were looking forward to going to that birthday party, but the guys invited me for a tea time.
Right.
I promise I'll be home for dinner. I mean.
But the tea time's at 6:30
it's hard to
in
sell.
The morning.
It's a hard sell. But this is the best. I can come with you.
Yes.
We had one of my fans come up to us, and he said, oh, man, it was – first of all, he said the membership was – really cheap.
Yep,
so he's like, it was so cost affordable for him that he got his whole family memberships, and they come kick it. Kids will come, they go hang out somewhere upstairs, and he comes hang out with the wife here. Great family location too.
No, and that's all intentional. You know, I think I mentioned earlier, it's just one of those games where I'm a sports dad. I'm watching my kids on the soccer field.
Yep.
And that's a great experience to watch your kids on the sideline, right? Yeah. You know, you're trying to contain all of your emotions of like yelling
at the refs.
Don't coach
in front of exactly.
You know, yelling at the coach, yelling at the ref, and just cheering for your kids. But this is something that I get to do alongside my son.
Right.
And there's just not a lot of things that you can say that about. So when we see families come in here and father and son or mother and son, father, daughter are all enjoying the game together, you know, there's days where we've got an entire family all along all four bays that you see on this wall, and you just go, hey, man, we're doing something pretty good here.
Right.
Yeah. If we can get the community involved in this game in that capacity. So,
no doubt.
Yeah, we're talking to Aaron Bergman, CEO and founder of Golffinity. And again, this is a place that everyone, even if you're not a golfer,
it's a
you
great
need
place,
to come
man.
Out here.
Hey, I'm not
and
a golfer.
Check it out.
And I'm telling you, it's a great place.
Yeah,
like,
you need to come out here
is.
And check it out and get to understand what all of this is all about. And I want to talk about the origin. Like, how did you come up with this concept? Because everybody has a plan, right? Everybody wants to do something grand to make it where every family member, like we've been talking about, you could bring a family member out. But when you sit here and you look at the concept and the origin of how you got this going, what was that?
So that's a great question. You know, a lot of things in life are really about timing.
Yep.
And in 2015, we actually had an after-school program. We were in over 85 schools in Central Texas, so just spreading the game throughout the community in a very privileged capacity, getting to work with schools.
Yeah.
And we said, hey, we got to have a place for these kids to learn beyond the gymnasium and the soccer field, right?
Yep.
So at that time, 2015, really the technology around training and development with golf was really coming along. You know, golf simulators have been around for years, but they were mostly just for fun and entertainment because they weren't providing the feedback that could really help you take your game to the next level.
Right.
Well, right around that time, that all started to flip. So we opened a very small indoor school, and I saw, you know, my background is in coaching.
Okay.
And so I saw that, whoa, wait a second. This not only is this kind of novel and fun that you can hit a shot and you see the ball flight on the simulator, but there's data that it's giving you feedback that as a kid growing up, if I would have got that type of feedback, you know, my pathway to development would have been so much more efficient. And now you see the top 100 players in the world, they're using TrackMan technology, they're using Gears 3D technology on a daily basis. And now we can provide that to the masses. Turns out that that same technology can help a brand new golfer understand, you know, people look at golf and they're like, it's so complicated, the swing, I don't know if I'll be good. And they figure out, like, wait a second, the cause and effect, it's not that complicated. There's just a little bit of data that I have to learn, and then it can help me. And so we saw that, and we just ran with it. So
it's almost like the analytics.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking when he said.
Analytics has hit.
No, and it's not just with golf.
Real time.
It's not just with golf that this revolution has taken over.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
If you're not using
that
data
information,
in anything, you know, I'm at the soccer field. They're like videotaping games, and they're like, you know, measuring how much the kids are running on the
how
field.
How fast they're running, time of mile per hour. That's the things that we've been
talking interesting
about.
Is we have kids coming in. They're like, yeah, my club path is 3 to the right, and my club face is 2 degrees close. And you're like, okay.
Next level.
That's next level.
Yeah, that is
but
next
what
level.
But what it allows is it allows people to own their development, right? Because I don't want to hit the ball and just go, I don't know why the ball did that. And then with the technology that we're using inside of Golffinity is empowering people to own what they do with their golf club and their golf swing.
I love how analytics has created almost a new language as well, right? In terms of how you describe the different mechanics and stuff that is happening.
Absolutely.
It happens in every sport, but like you just said, what did the young man say to you? What did he say? He
came in. Club face.
His club path and his club face. I mean, but here's the thing. When I was his age, I wouldn't have even known what that was.
Exactly. It's a great, and it almost increasing IQ as well as sports fans and as really as people who are participating in sports as well.
What this experience inside of Golffinity has done is people used to just go to the driving range as a means to the end. I got to go to the driving range so that when I go do the fun stuff, it's actually worth it.
Yeah.
You know, but the driving range itself was not much of an experience. You're not going out there to hang with anybody. There's no social scene. They're not bumping music. They're not hanging out with Harge and Babers.
Yeah, no doubt.
Right? You just hit your balls, keep your head down, and get out of there.
Yeah.
We said, well, hey, wait a second. With all this cool technology, and if you put it indoors and build the atmosphere, going to practice, that is the experience.
I love
beautiful.
It. Yeah.
That's
right? Because
yeah.
What do I have more time to do? Practice or go play golf? I got more time to practice because I can do it in 30, 45, yeah. one-hour increments.
And why do you have to dread it?
Yeah,
why does
right.
it have to be something that yeah. you dread? Something you should enjoy.
That's
yeah,
right.
I love it. Can I ask you one question? I know we got to let you go because we're going to keep you all day here. But where's Austin rank as among golf cities? Like, in your opinion, like you said, a golf
yeah,
culture.
Yeah, you've been all over the place.
Because they're trying to build a golf culture. I mean, they're serious about it. I know you are one of these people, obviously, decision makers behind the scenes who have a passion for golf. Where does it rank for you?
So that's a great question. I think Austin is a really interesting golf town.
Okay.
If you look at the inventory of golf courses compared to the population, it's pretty low.
Right.
There's probably 3 or 4, maybe 5 times the courses in Houston and Dallas, because those have been big cities
for a long
while.
Time. Good
yeah,
point.
So
good
in
point.
Austin,
yeah.
There's all this pent-up demand for golf because you have all these people moving here. They're working and golf and business. It's all yeah. It all intermingles, right?
Yep.
So there's just all this pent-up demand. So Austin's a great town. Like, look at the support that the Dell Match Play gets.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Here's another thing is there's a lot of tour players. There's a lot of tour players who are based out of Austin.
Correct.
So with the weather, and it's so beautiful here, it's a great golf town. But, there's not a course.
That's good to know.
There's not a golf course, on every other mile.
But you know what they do have? They have access to Golffinity.
Amen.
So they need to get out
ding,
here
ding, ding,
and
ding,
learn
ding.
A lot about it.
Well done, brother.
There's
if you were
going to
say it, I would have.
I already know how you work, man. Y'all need to get out to Golffinity.
Great
Go to Golffinity.com. You can learn so much more about this place. 20,000 square foot, two-story venue where you can have a party. You can have a practice. You can get lessons. You can do the track, man. You can do all of this and so much more. We can't thank you enough, Aaron, for jumping on with
thank
us.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you for having us.
It's our pleasure, man. Thank you for being a part of it. It's really great.
Appreciate it.
All right. We'll come right back. We'll get into Off the Record on the other side. We're live from Golffinity. We'll be out here till 6:30. We're probably going to stay after here a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
The after party.
Nothing like a party but the after
exactly.
party.
Exactly. Having a good time out here at Golffinity. Come on out if you're in the neighborhood right here. Ball Don't Lie on 104.9 The Horn.
D.D. Mega Doodoo. I'm sorry, Mangoodoo.
Once it's turned on, the sign will spell out Deli Cat Essen.
Well, I don't get a brain man comb.
Well, congratulations. Continue good sex in the Big East.
Thank you, Jimmy.
And boom goes the dynamite.
It's time for another edition of Off the Record.
Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. And thing sucks.
All right, welcome back to Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. We are looking live from Golffinity, one of my favorite places on the planet right now. It's a great place. I don't even like golf that much. I ain't going to lie to you. It's the truth. But I do love Golffinity. It's a great location. And as my man Harch mentioned, you can come out here. It's your one-stop shop for everything. Get club fittings. You can come out here just to swing the club, bring your driver. You can putt out here. They got tutorials and lessons. They got golf coaches out here. They also got a bar out here. They got a kitchen out here. So they got a great menu as well, which I haven't looked at just yet. But I'm going to check out that menu too. So they got everything you need out here at Golffinity. So come check it out if you're in the neighborhood. We'll give you some more details about that here in just a second. But the big news today, gentlemen, is it's final. Giselle and Tom Brady have officially called it quits. They have reached a settlement ending their marriage. Their divorce documents are formally being filed today, sources tell TMZ. And even Tom Brady and Giselle both issued public statements via their social media platforms to say that it is officially done and to thank those who supported them. And they really, I think they just wanted to make sure they put out kind of a classy statement from both sides saying that there wasn't really any complications or vitriol. They were just moving on. And I wonder for Tom Brady what's next for Giselle. I mean, I think we know what's next for Giselle. Giselle wanted to be with her family.
Yep.
And obviously her family not the same because Tom Brady's not going to be part of that. But she wanted to be with her family more. And who knows? She might decide to resurrect her career.
I have no idea. Maybe Giselle.
Well, that's what the plan was originally. Remember, maybe. She's like, I've been sitting here at home for so long taking care of these children. Now it's time for me. Because remember, somebody said, we saw her at the gym in Miami. She was trying to get right again.
She looks like she stays pretty good shape. Well,
I'm just going with the star.
Gym. Okay, yeah, at the gym. Come on. She's in pretty good shape already. Not like she's hurting. Right. But, yeah, maybe she wants to get back to her modeling career. That could be the case as well. We know Tom Brady, after he's done, whenever that is, he's going to move into the booth, and he's going to do broadcast work in the booth, and he's already – has a contract in place, not sure if that's signed or whatever, but that's what he's doing after he's done with football. So Tom Brady, I'm assuming he is right now going to finish this season. There are even some whispers that some people believe that Tom Brady might be that frustrated that he would decide to retire. I think this news, it really eliminates the option of – or not eliminates totally, but I think he wants to focus totally on football.
Yep.
Obvious, and he's desperately –
Now he has to go all in, all the way in now. There's no turning back now.
Yeah.
The paperwork is done. The ink is dry. You have to go all in this situation now. Now, the biggest story will be, is this going to change everything about Tom Brady's focus? Because yesterday, he looked like he was not focused, Rod.
Well, you see, I mean, it's obvious why he's not focused.
Exactly. The paperwork was already done.
It's hard for
everybody. He was ready to make that announcement today.
Yeah. So you're right. Maybe now that is off his plate, maybe Tom Brady now will be less distracted.
Yeah,
no doubt. Can be the Tom Brady, the GOAT that we all remember from years past. We'll see how it ends for Tom Brady, but it is definitely over in the end of his marriage to Giselle. We'll come back. We'll discuss that and more. We got a special guest coming up for you on the other side.
Lifetime Longhorn.
Can we say it now?
No, we're not. We're going to let the people know.
We're teasing. All right, there you go. All right. We'll have a very special guest on the other side for the people.
PGA style.
Yes. We'll tell you about that on the other side right here from Golffinity. This is Ball Don't Lie on 104.9 The Horn.